Our present meditation is on the sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist. This is our first conference on the Eucharist as a sacrament, and specifically on the Eucharist as the sacrifice sacrament. The vocabulary, by the way, is that of Pope John Paul II. But the doctrine behind the terminology is as old as the Church. Our purpose in this conference is to explain how the Mass is the sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist. As we have been doing so here, we'll draw on the Church's teaching, and specifically the definitions of the Council of Trent in the 16th century, and the teaching especially of Pope Pius XII, because it was on his teaching about the Mass how the Second Vatican Council built his own doctrine on the Eucharistic liturgy. Even to say that to some people makes them blink. In other words, the real Vatican II has yet to be known by many, I'm afraid, most Catholics. First then, the Council of Trent. We've been drawing on the Church's teaching at Trent, mainly because during the 16th century, every single Eucharistic dogma was not only questioned or challenged, but denied. In other words, the teaching of the Council of Trent is the teaching of the Church through the previous 1500 years, but clarified, sharpened, in a way that would not have been in God's ordinary providence possible except for the widespread Eucharistic errors that became almost the air that people breathed in the 16th century. There was one dominant feature in the writings of Luther and Calvin, Cranmer and Zwingli, in their break with the Roman Catholic Church. Without exception, they claim that Christ had instituted no sacrament of orders which empowered ordained priests to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Except for Eastern Orthodoxy, which believes in the seven sacraments, all other highly organized, multi-million membership forms of Christianity Over the years, I've defined all these denominations as priestless Christianity. And of course, the very name priest in the language of all nations, and I would add, in the religions of all nations, a priest is one who offers sacrifice. With this as a background, we understand why the Council of Trent published no less than 9 lengthy formal anathemas condemning anyone who held certain erroneous positions on the sacrifice of the Mass, beginning with the most fundamental, that Christ never instituted the priesthood, so there should be no Mass. How happy I am to report about my own Jesuit brethren, not a few martyred because they were priests. Three of these 9 definitions are especially pertinent to our subject and should be quoted without apology in full. I will first quote and then, as we've been doing, explaining, clarifying the implications of the doctrine. As before, each Tridentine document begins with an if. If anyone says that, anyone says this, then whatever they're saying, let him be anathema. First teaching. If anyone says that in the Mass a true and proper sacrifice is not offered to God, or that the sacrificial offering consists merely in the fact that Christ is given to us to eat, let him be anathema. Second, if anyone says that by the words, "Do this in remembrance of me," Christ did not make the apostles priests, or that he did not command that they, another priest, should offer his body and blood. Again, those precious words, let him be anathema. Third and finally, if anyone says that the sacrifice of the Mass is merely an offering of praise and of thanksgiving, or that it is a simple memorial of the sacrifice offered on the cross and not propitiatory, or that it benefits only those who communicate, and the Mass should not be offered for the living and the dead, for sins, punishments, satisfaction, and other necessities, once again, let him be anathema. every one of those anathematized statements is now being circulated and published and taught widely, very widely, in the Catholic Church, in the Catholic Church. One norm I give people, I ask them, in fact, anytime you come across a parish bulletin, you know, the weekly bulletins that most parishes have, I'm gathering a stockpile. How few in some dioceses never is would it be called the sacrifice of the Mass? Called the Mass or sacrifice? Is the liturgy with a capital L or the Eucharist? Sometimes with a capital E. Anything but the sacrifice of the Mass. Yet no one can be a Catholic without believing that Christ instituted the sacrifice of the Mass. So what are we being told? Many truths of our faith, faith in the Eucharist. Namely, I count everything in sight. First, we are told that the sacrifice of the Mass is a true sacrifice. In the Mass, the same Christ who offered himself on Calvary now offers himself in an unbody manner on the altar. Well, you can't in your wildest dreams conjure up the notion of the Mass as a sacrifice in which Christ is offering himself, unless if the consecration would have been bread and wine, ceased to be bread and wine, and Christ is present. He better be present. He was going to offer a sacrifice. Second, we're being told that the Mass is a true sacrifice. Why? Because it is the same Jesus really present on the altar through the words of consecration. In the Mass, therefore, we have both the same one who offers and the same one who is being offered. In other words, the same priest offering, the same victim being offered in the Mass as on the cross on the first Good Friday. What are we told? We are being told that at the Last Supper, Christ ordained his apostles priests. I'm not exaggerating. You can read 2 million words published by professed Catholics. And any with the subject we are talking about, without more than, if you find that even, an innuendo, that Christ ordained the apostles priests. There were not too many scripture texts that the church has infallibly defined. This is one. That by his pronouncing the words, "This is my body, this is my blood," Christ instituted the sacrament of the Eucharist. And by further pronouncing the words, "Do this in remembrance of me," he was instituting the sacrament of the priesthood. What then had Christ done? He changed bread and wine into his own living person, and he offered his flesh and blood to the Heavenly Father for the redemption of a sinful human race. Just for the record, there is still a sinful human race. Can nobody share that secret with you? Fourth thing we are being taught. We are told that the sacrifice of the Mass is not only a liturgical ceremony, or as we read in one piece of writing after another, a celebration. All right. You want to talk about celebration? Do so. But be sure you know that this is, then you might hesitate using the word celebrate, this is the sacrifice and dare we say that Christ is celebrating. Over the years, I never tire doing this. I ask my students, what is the most Catholic language in the world? Remember, what language do most Catholics in the world speak? Most people don't know. So I tell them, of course, Spanish. What is the most Protestant language in the world? Well, that's easy. English. The word celebrate in English has, well, festive connotations. We better know what's behind the words first that we use, and with emphasis that others use. In other words, the Mass is not only a ceremony or a celebration. It is not merely a reminder of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. No. The Mass is a sacrifice. And yet it is the sacrifice, which St. Paul tells us wiped out, did away with all the other sacrifices that have been offered until the coming of Christ. And we believe the sacrifice of Calvary, then you provide the verb, is reenacted, re-paused, presented in the Eucharistic sacrifice of the Mass. Moreover, and for our purpose crucially, the Mass is a sacrament. And all that we've seen about sacrament applies with resounding emphasis to the Mass. In other words, if by definition a sacrament is something which Christ instituted that confers the grace that it signifies, so the Mass confers grace. Better plural, grace as. What are some of the graces conferred by the sacrament sacrifice of the Mass, as spelled out in long, very precise language elsewhere in the Council of Trent? What I quoted for you was only the defined synthesis of far more than even the Council of Trent decreed on the sacrifice of the Mass. What are the kind of graces that the sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist confers? The grace of propitiation or expiation for sin. The word propitiation for most English-speaking people they guess. What does it mean? It means obtaining graces from God that will make up for, amend, expiate the ravages of sin. We go on. We're asking what kind of graces the sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist confers. It confers the grace of obtaining mercy from God, who through the Mass removes more or less of the guilt, which means loss of grace, incurred by our sins. No sin is ever committed without having disastrous consequences. Depending on the gravity of the sin, more or less of the grace is removed. You can read every single book in psychology. And I would bet anything with money I don't have, you'll find nowhere in the prestigious science of psychology this definition of guilt. Guilt is the loss of divine grace. Even Sigmund Freud, as I've said so often, not only was he not a Christian, he was not even a believer in a personal God. Yet he said, after a lifetime of clinical practice, he has yet to meet, so he said, a single client who was not troubled by the sense of guilt. Guilt is the foundation of all psychological disorders. We better know what guilt is. Yet is a loss of grace. And the sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist restores more or less of that lost grace. Again, the sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist gives the grace of repentance and true interior sorrow. Watch it. Not because by sinning we've made fool of ourselves and are embarrassed or humiliated. That's not even authentic repentance. True repentance is sorrow for sin because we've offended a loving God. Still more, the sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist confers the grace of remission of the sufferings that are due to us, and marvelously, the sufferings due to others. Grace is conferred to lessen the debt of pain that we all owe God because we have sinned. Still more, the sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist gives the grace of enlightening our minds, which have been darkened by our committing sin. Sin and darkness go together throughout the Bible, and I should add, throughout human history. I further add, in my own experience in dealing with people, the most benighted fools are those who may have a superb intellect but are steeped in sin. The Mass confers the grace of enlightening minds darkened by sin. The Mass confers the grace of strengthening our wills to do good and avoid evil. Since once again, and not only because of the sin of our first parents, but our sins have weakened our wills. The worst cowards in the world are the deepest sinners I know. What other grace does the Mass confer as a sacrament? The grace of obtaining grace for other people. This is surely a unique sacrament, especially the grace of conversion for hardened sinners, and the grace of conversion to the true faith of those who may never have even heard the gospel effectively preached to them. One more grace. The marvelous grace of inspiring and enabling us to make sacrifices out of love for God. We know what a sacrifice is. A sacrifice is the surrender of something precious to God. Surrender precious and to God. And how obvious can you be? The most demanding sacrifice, the hardest we're called upon to make, is a surrender, you guessed it, of the most precious creature we know. Oh, how we love that creature. Just coincidentally, happens to have our name. So much for the Council of Trent. Our second area of reflection is the teaching of Pope Pius XII. Why of all pontiffs should we choose Pius XII? Because during his pontificate, he wrote extensively on the sacrifice of the Mass. And as we've said, he laid the groundwork for the authentic teaching of Vatican II. Not unlike the situation in the 16th century. So in the 20th century, many nominal Catholics had either abandoned their faith entirely or were struggling to remain believing Catholics. What Pius XII repeatedly declared is that Catholics need today, this is our century, to deepen their understanding of the Mass at the risk of not only not assisting at Mass. I just saw an astounding figure 3 days ago. Not sure how accurate it is. Less than 30% of American Catholics ever go to Mass. My God! Two days before I came here to New Mexico, I was working in a downstairs room doing some dictation. A young woman came, and the receptionist came to where I was and said, "There's a lady to see you." I introduced myself. She was from Nigeria. I put her about 25 years older. And she was, she tells me, a lay missionary. It takes me about 5 minutes to find out if a stranger is psychotic. She wasn't. Perfectly normal, rationally. But, as an act of gratitude for so many American missionaries in years gone by, who came to evangelize Africa, she was now coming to the United States and had Episcopal backing for doing it. to evangelize Americans. Very friendly conversation. A very intelligent woman. I said, thanks for coming. I'm sure you know that America is a mission country. Yes, Father. And the most difficult work of conversion is not from paganism to Christianity. It's from heresy or apostasy back to Catholicism. Back to Pius XII. Unless he said, especially the modern Western world recovers and if need be rediscovers the indispensability of the sacrificed sacrament of the Eucharist, the church will not survive in those cultures or even whole continents. Consequently, this being the theme of his pontificate, on November the 20th, 1947, Pius XII published the historic document, Mediator Dei, whose English title reads, On the Sacred Liturgy, in which he explained, I counted the number of words, over 30,000 words, how the sacrifice of the Mass is absolutely necessary for our salvation. How is this? The Mass is the sacrament through which Christ dispenses the graces he won for us on Calvary. Follow the logic. This is our Catholic faith. Sure, Christ died on the cross for our salvation. But having died, he merited the graces we need. But we must have access to those graces, the principal reservoir for the graces won for the world on Calvary. The principal reservoir of those graces is the sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist. And I'll quote briefly from Pius XII. It can be said, I'm quoting Pius XII, that Christ built on Calvary a purifying and saving reservoir which he filled with the blood he poured out. But if men do not immerse themselves in his waves, and the ways of this blood, or more theologically, in the ocean of the graces he won, and do not cleanse themselves of their sins, they certainly cannot be saved. Unquote. When then we say that the Mass is a sacrament. We mean that graces are conferred just because Mass is being offered. May I recommend to all of you, do it kindly, do it subtly, do it gently, do it smilingly, but do it. Make sure that every priest you know offers Mass every day. Graces are being poured out through the Mass. These graces are especially those that have to do with sin and the remission of both the guilt, which is the loss of grace, and the pain, which is the penalty. Because the Mass is a sacrament, it confers these graces infallibly. It confers these graces for the whole human race. But it confers these graces dependent on the degree of faith that people have and on the moral dispositions of the one who is receiving the grace. You say much more before the retreat is over, but just to place it here into theological context, in order to benefit what the Pope calls the reservoir of Christ's blood, or the reservoir of the graces won by Christ's death on Calvary. It is not enough to believe in the Mass, to believe in the Mass intellectually. Not enough to, as we say, attend Mass, or even participate in the Mass. The key to unlocking the treasures of Calvary is to live the Mass. You will benefit only as much from the graces of the sacrament of the Mass as our lives are mirror images of the life of Christ, whose life was one long sacrifice, especially in the total surrender of his human will to the Father. Lord Jesus, we believe that you instituted the sacrifice sacrament of the Mass as the principal source of grace for a sin-laden human race. Open our minds to see with the eyes of faith that in every Mass you offer yourself over and over again to your Heavenly Father. You can no longer die. But dear Jesus, we can. Help us to die. Die to ourselves so that the ocean of blessings that you are pouring out from the sacrifices of the Mass throughout the world may be received and cooperated with by ourselves, so that, living the Mass here on earth, we might enter into that heavenly glory with you who were crucified on Good Friday. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.